Alright.
Weird noise. What are we doing?
We are taking another look at the comics we read this week. I read Tiny Titans. It was an Aqua issue. They had Aquaman, Aqualad, Aquagirl, Lagoon Boy, Lagoon Girl, The Face.
The Face.
Something that's just a rock, but talks. And Aqua Cow.
The Face.
It's just a big face with arms and legs.
Do you remember when... Is it the same face that joined the Teen Titans for, like, one issue?
I don't remember that.
Oh, it was...
It probably would be.
It was, like, even a one-panel appearance, and me and a bunch of friends focused on it, because it was with the issue where they introduced, like, all the new Titans from 52, like, all the ones you didn't see. And apparently his power was just being, like, a face with arms and legs.
I didn't realize that was a power. What can a face do?
I assume he died off-panel. I mean, it's the Teen Titans. I don't know if that was cynical or not, but it's probably true. But wait, so there's Lagoon Boy. Is he the guy that's basically like a fish dude?
He's like a reptilian dude. He's okay. Green and scaly.
Oh, okay. I didn't know there was a Lagoon Girl.
I didn't either. There isn't this issue. I'm pretty certain there isn't an Aqua Cow.
Isn't that just a manatee?
No, it's a cow with a little scuba diving thing. Oh. No, wait. Below ground, on in the sea, it's just a cow with swim fins.
Oh.
But on land, it has a little aqua diving mask of water so it can breathe.
Oh, okay.
They had a meeting of cows in the Just Us Cows meeting with the Bat Cow, Aqua Cow, and this cow that had a flaming head.
Like Ghost Rider
cow? I don't know.
Or, I'm trying to imagine that, and it's...
I think there's some flaming-headed person in DC, but maybe not.
Yeah.
A Tomo Cow.
Odds are good. I think it was, like, the Atomic Flame or something like that. Or Blazing Skull was his name.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Hopefully that was DC and not Marvel. That would be...
I remember Ted Kord fighting...
Oh, he's Marvel.
This guy with the blazing skull, but I think maybe it was green instead of red, when he was in an illegal underground superhero fighting ring, and Black Canary had to talk him out. No, Ted Kord. Not Ted Kord. Ted Grant.
Oh, okay. Wildcat.
Wildcat, yes. When he was in an illegal fighting ring in the Justice League Unlimited, and Black Canary had to get him out, and that's how she fell in love with Green Arrow. And that episode was written by Gail Simone, I believe.
Wow.
Maybe not.
I think she did the one that was the girl fighting ring.
Oh, yes, you're right. With Huntress getting together with the Question.
Yeah, that's right. And for a while, it seemed like the only story Wildcat was getting into was, I'm an old boxer, doesn't know much, but all I know is how to fight, so I'm going to fight an underground fighting ring until my friends find me and talk me out of it. Like, JSA Classified, there were, like, three stories about Wildcat in the first year that had basically that plot.
I mean, you would think that Ollie or, what's his name?
Flash?
Green Lantern.
Oh, Alan Scott.
No, other guy.
Hal Jordan?
Hal Jordan. That's the one. You know who I'm talking about.
I thought you meant the old one, since we were talking about old heroes.
The guy... But they're the two that box all the time.
Oh, yeah.
That they would at least box with him, but... No. No one wants to hang out with Wildcat.
It's because he's old to the point where everything he says is just completely inappropriate. And mean. Like, all he talks about is how good it was, you know, 30 years ago, way back when he was 50.
I'm sorry, you were saying no something respect. That every about how everything that came out of some guy's mouth was inappropriate and mean.
That was totally appropriate.
Uh-huh.
But Tiny Titans, I
who'd
pick
you get
it
in
up,
an internet fight with this week? Go on, I know someone.
Some guy I never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't my fault, he picked the fight.
Sure. I'm going to find you in an underground internet fighting ring, aren't I?
Oh, man. I feel like I went through that stage, and then my friends pulled me out
just
of it.
paid flamewar.com.
Pickafight.net. But I hardly ever pick up Tiny Titans anymore, but every time I do, there's always some incredible pun at the heart of either a storyline or one of their characters.
Yes.
There was, what is it? There's like Dark Side, the Lunch Lady with the Final Crisis, which I don't even remember what the crisis was. It was like a pop quiz or something,
yes.
I think.
It was the finals. It was finals crisis.
There we go. Like, I enjoy dumb puns. Which makes that series pretty much like a delight every time I pick it up.
I like the little kids' drawings on the in the on the back page.
They used to do those in like grown-up comics too, but they don't anymore for some reason. They would have
because no grown-up in their right mind is gonna show their kids that comic. I mean, their kids are gonna pick up that comic because when you're a kid, you're like, "Ooh, boobs."
Yeah, what am I not allowed to read? Give me six of those.
Yes. But yeah, then they probably wouldn't do drawings of it. And if they did, it would be really disturbing.
Yeah, and I'm not
like,
sure why.
Can you imagine, like, someone drawing Black Canary as two big circles and then, like, cross-hatching fishnet legs?
Actually, I can't even get a mental picture of that.
Okay.
Like, I tried, but...
And then a head on top.
Like a snowman?
No.
Okay.
Horizontally placed circles.
Yeah. That would be a very adult drawing for a child. But, alright, so Tiny Titans, it was good, I assume?
Yes.
You had to think about it.
I was shaking off the image that I previously painted, and I had to get back to Tiny Titans, yes. It was good.
Feel free to pause the podcast if you need a moment. So, was that all you read this week?
Yeah, because Knight and Squire didn't chip to my retailer. So,
curse
you, Diamond!
They do that
get
like, surprisingly
together.
Often.
It's always with stuff I like. It isn't, but that's when I notice it, so...
I mean, it's pretty much like a vendetta against you.
Yeah.
It's personal.
Well, why?
Luckily, I bought, like, 8 billion comics this week.
Yeah, I love how you're like, I'm not into superhero comics anymore. And then every week, you have 6 or 7.
I didn't go for two... Well, see, you only see me every 2 weeks, and I usually don't go when I have just one book, and then all the books I like come out on the same week.
Mm.
Like, Batman Inc. was last week, but everything else was this week. Which I feel like is really unfair.
That means you only have to go once a month.
Pretty much,
it's saving you time.
It's saving me biking around this hilly city.
Okay, what's Sigil?
It's, actually I got Sigil and Ruse for free, because I probably wasn't going to pick them up. But it's pretty much a revival of CrossGen, which is a company from the late 90s, early 2000s. It had, like, great art, amazing colorists, and was run by an insane person.
It is good color.
Yeah, this one...
Kind of poppy.
It's very... It's like how I would imagine adventure comics would be done if they weren't, like, aimed squarely at adults these days. You know, where it's very dark and gloomy.
Superboy comics looks kind of like this. Only I like the art in Superboy a little better. It's, like, flatter, which kind of, in some ways, makes it more interesting.
Yeah. But Sigil... It's, I assume, a completely new story. I didn't read the old comic. But a girl keeps finding herself in the past, and there's, like, a secret history thing going on. And it sounds like her mother's recently died, and she's very upset about it, and it disrupted her school year last year. And while she's trying to catch up, like, back to where she was, she keeps flipping back into the past in her dreams. And in this issue, it happens in real life. And everyone's like, oh, crap, like, she's brand new to, you know... being able to do this, so she sucks. She's not the amazing warrior she's gonna be. And also, her mom was pretty cool, too, because as a pirate tells her, it's pirates attack at the end of the book.
It looks like sky pirates on a fire ship, or if one of them has fire powers. He has fiery fists.
Oh, yeah, they are flying out of the sky for some reason.
Which I imagine would make shaving difficult.
Or really
also
easy.
Also reading, because the paper would just burn.
You get someone to read to you.
How does he even board a ship?
He can fly.
Just burn it down.
He can. His hands aren't going to be on the ground. He can just walk around like normal. But this was surprisingly good. It's Mike Carey wrote it, who I generally like, but I wasn't, you know, like a writer gets on a book that you don't really sound like would be your thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like that. And there's some dumb, like, high school girl drama where there's the mean girls who pick on her all the time and think that she's after their boyfriend, but their boyfriend's after her, and there's confusion.
I am really glad that I did not go to a high school like that.
Also, the boyfriend is basically an idiot. And I don't think he's actually dating her, which makes the entire thing even dumber. But yeah, it was pretty good. And I think that, like, hopefully there's a film noir issue. But the covered issue, too, has her walking the plank. So I figure things just get worse as time goes on.
Oh, you can't really tell by covers.
If there's no plank walking in that book, I will be very upset. I don't even know. That's like having a dog fight and no one does like a flip in midair to get behind the other plane.
Oh, like, I thought you meant like actual dogs fighting. I'm like, David.
No.
Okay, it's planes. That's all right then.
Though if a dog did do a backflip to get behind
another dog. That would be awesome. Yeah. Okay.
That would be... I don't know.
Okay, so CrossGen Comics, you have 1 month to come up with a plank walking scene.
I will accept plank fighting.
Oh, wait, already done so. So, Zombie. Now, this I was looking for the past 2 weeks, but I didn't see on the shelf either week.
Wow, it came out this week for sure. And okay. Hands down, my favorite book of the week.
All right.
A revival of a Milestone comic from, like, it was canceled basically 15 years ago when the entire company went under. But David Kim is a zombie with an X. I don't think they ever actually say why it's X-O-M-B-I, but it looks mm-hmm. good on the cover, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It gets racked next to X-Men. And pretty much he can't die, he can't age because of nanomachines in his blood. And while you think that would turn this into like a sci-fi story, it's actually more like... Basically, in the first issue of the last run, people were like, oh, this is like Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol, where it's just weird stuff and religion and magic, and it's really... Well, like, Doom Patrol was actually sort of depressing, but this one is pretty funny. Because he keeps a very... like, he meets a lot of weird things in his line of work now, and mm-hmm. as much as he doesn't want to, he just kind of rolls with it. And just the sense of humor is good. There's a bit when...
Well, this just looks like a couple of guys hanging out. Like,
yeah,
the first,
the beginning of the book.
4 pages are just like two guys sitting on a couch, two guys kind of getting beers from the fridge.
But so well drawn.
5 pages. Oops, someone got a phone call. It is well drawn.
Yeah, it's
very well
Irving.
Done. And great job as usual, Fraser Irving.
Yeah, that guy has been on pretty much my favorite DC books of the past. I don't know, a few years. But I mean, it starts, the chit chat scene is basically to like give you his backstory really quickly and kind of mm-hmm. get his personality down. He meets a nun named Nonetheless later in the book, and her power is to shrink.
Oh my god.
Yes,
really?
There are a few puns. But there's also None of the Above, whose power is basically to read reality like a book, like she's like a third person novel.
I feel like I should burn this book.
There's a good
burn
pun on the page
right
you're on right
now.
There. Or no, maybe the page before that, where he meets another nun, and he's making fun of the other nun's names, and he's like, oh, what's your nun name? And she's like, none of your business.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But Nonetheless apparently got her powers by eating some bad shrimp when she was younger. And, like, that's a really dumb explanation. And the very next panel is him looking at the person telling him that with kind of like a side eye, like, really? Is that really what you're going to tell me right now? But it's a really nice mix of horror and not like slapstick comedy, but it's a funny book. Like, you'll chuckle as you read, assuming that you like puns like I do.
This is good.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to ask my comics distributor to order it, because so much pink.
Yeah. And no,
and
like,
so
every scene
looking.
Is color coordinated. Like, there's a certain color for outside, or for brightness, for darkness. And, like, the horror stuff in there is really well done, because it's not, you know, like, oh, no, there's a Frankenstein or a Dracula waiting at the door. It's, mm-hmm. he takes a concept and kind of pushes it just slightly into the weird area.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are snow angels at the end of the book, and you can't look directly at them because you'll be drawn into them, and also they will probably wear your face, which is, you know, a bad thing.
Why?
I forget. They explain it in the book. I forget the explanation. But towards the end, someone explains how the purpose of costumes in Halloween was to fool the evil spirits into thinking that you were one of them, so they wouldn't take you to hell or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the characters appear that didn't manage to fool the spirits. Which I think is the page you're on right now.
Ooh, that's creepy looking.
Yeah. And it's just this really nice mix of weird horror and comedy.
And none of your business. None.
It's not actually her
nun
name.
Yes, I know. Still. Oh.
There's Catholic Girl.
Like, you know they were setting that up.
Probably.
Pretty much 15 years ago.
Yeah. No, there is a character named Manuel Dexterity who was a hand. And
it
like,
hurts.
It's a corny name, but in the book it was actually a little bit frightening. But there's Catholic Girl, who's basically Sailor Moon, but powered by religion. So, like, when she's doing her Hail Marys, she has a force shield. She can say, "Let there be light," as, like, a flashlight. I forget what she does
to
fly.
That's a little blasphemous, actually.
She's a licensed member of the Catholic Church's secret society thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun. Like, I was really,
you know,
really impressed.
Sometime I'd like to see other various churches' secret societies.
Me too, man.
Like, that would be a hilarious book where it's like, okay, we're the Catholic Church, we can do exorcism, but we can't handle this, so we're going to have to call the Anglicans.
Yeah. It's the problem is that,
this is a little more rough and tumble. Let's call the American Episcopalians.
Like, the Catholic Church has history, you know? But, mm-hmm. like, if you go to any random church in the United States, it'll have a sign saying, you know, like, founded 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 150 years ago.
Yeah.
150 years doesn't give you a lot of leeway for secret societies.
I feel, yeah, but it also seems like I kind of would love to do the book. Not like, what secret society would the Baptists have?
Yeah.
What secret society would, you know, all these various little Christian
sects. I feel like that would be
sects,
really interesting.
Or unbelievably offensive.
Sometimes
possibly
that's the same
both.
Thing.
Because it seems like you would take the, like, absolute biggest stereotype,
oh, absolutely,
of any religion and turn it into a secret society with superpowers.
Yeah. It's comic books. What can you do?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I would...
Probably not that.
There's a little bit of that in...
I don't want to screen my mail.
It would piss off basically everyone ever.
Yeah.
Like, the only people that would be cool if they were atheists and, like, 50-50 agnostics.
All right.
Yes. What's next?
Oh, Batman Incorporated.
Yeah, so that's my last issue of Batman Incorporated.
Really?
Yeah. It's good, but, like...
You didn't like Bruce Wayne doing the friggin' tango of death?
It's good, but it's not compelling enough for me to keep buying it month to month. And, like, Morrison always reads better in a trade, is the thing.
And random quotes from Federico Garcia Lorca?
Yeah.
In Spanish?
I was just glad it wasn't, like, what is it? Javier Garcia Lopez, the 100 Years of Solitude guy? Because that is so played out.
100 Years of Solitude.
Or is it Jose? Man, I read it in high school, and I liked it, and I can't even remember the guy's name. That is a shame. No, Gabriel Garcia Lopez.
Gabriel Garcia? Are you
Marquez.
Lopez?
Wow. I am the worst.
You're letting down your high school English teacher. He or she is listening to this podcast and crying.
I think he would put a cigarette out on my face.
Okay.
Yeah.
One thing I like, and I'm sorry, but I do adore this, is mm-hmm. not only does the bat costume now have seams for his stockings,
mm-hmm.
but it has an armored groin panel with rivets in it.
Why is that a bad thing?
I love it!
Also, they're probably buttons. Because rivets...
It's armored.
Buttons will keep with armor. Rivets would probably hurt quite a bit.
Button your armor?
Sure. Anyway. I don't know. I mean, it's not a bad issue, you know, but it's not the good that
Tangle
I expect from
death.
Morrison. It's got blue scorpions, too, and, like, I, for some reason, as a kid, like, I was all about arachnids.
Ugh.
Yeah. Like, I like the tone of how apparently supervillainy in Argentina is just, like, hey, whatever. Like, she's a supervillain. She tries all the time. Who cares? Like, we'll get through it. But it just wasn't enough for me.
Really, I really enjoyed it. I love the art.
Yeah, no, the art's
great. I love the kind of hyped up ridiculousness of all the countries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's like you go to Japan and it's all anime and giant octopuses.
And here it's the tango and extreme machismo.
Yes.
It's I did
jumping
like
a motorcycle into someone's face. I mean, that would crush their skull like a melon.
Ghost Rider does that all the time,
so
plus
cool.
His wheels are on fire.
It's not as cool. That guy just has
a
red mask tied behind his head, like he's that guy in The Princess Bride, only with a red mask instead of a black one.
I do like that his costume is like tank top, leather jacket, jeans. Like, I feel like that is a good... That's the kind of costume I like to see in comics.
That's where Superboy and Supergirl get their inspiration from.
I did like the Spanish captions explaining who El Gaucho is. Because... Did you read Wildcats... actually, I'm sorry. I just noticed a two-page ad in Batman Inc. that's on, like, the same page.
Yeah.
That is really sloppy. Anyway, did you read the Wildcats that Grant Morrison wrote? It was like 2006-ish?
No, I did not.
So it's one of my favorite single issues ever, and there will never be a part two, apparently, which is really disappointing. But Jim Lee drew it. And it's like, take superheroes and then like shoot more superheroes directly into their veins. And the Wolverine-type character, Grifter, who wears, like, a red mask and it just hangs over his face and he ties it in the back so all his hair sticks out. Like, he's very much your Clint Eastwood type of character. He's burnt out. Actually, it's basically Unforgiven in, like, four pages. He's burnt out and somewhere in South America. Some kid comes up like, please, mister, you have to help us, you know, so-and-so is coming. And the guy's like, kid, I don't do a lot of stuff anymore, so, you know, just go on ahead and let me smoke my cigar. And then by the end of the book, he's got his guns back and he's shooting aliens in the face. And over the shooting aliens in the face part of the book is just like sentences in German talking about how awesome this guy is. And it's like, Grifter is death and chaos and revenge and death and death and death, all in German. And it is like the best fight scene in comics because it's so over the top and ridiculous.
Want to get something really fighty, get German involved.
Yeah, it sounds like a fighting language. All German words are fighting words. But it was really well executed, and it kind of kicks like the ridiculousness of superheroes up into like heavy metal range. Like, they have their own soundtrack that plays while they fight. And that's what that reminded me of, because it's like, you know, he's extravagant and irresponsible and blah blah blah. So instead of, you know, death and chaos, he's like, hey, he has a good time. He dances a lot. But yeah, Yannick Paquette is doing this, like, his art's even more Kevin Nolan-y now, and Kevin Nolan is one of the best Batman artists ever, so.
You're doing nothing for praise, but you're like, but this is my last issue.
Yeah, it's because, like, so when I buy floppies, I read them once, and then I never pick them up again.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to become more discerning and, like, deciding what I'll buy in trade versus, you know, monthly. Because, like, those things just stick around and then you feel guilty throwing them away.
You can donate them to a school, in theory.
What children would you inflict
a high
most
school.
Of this on?
There's an explosion underneath a giant air balloon. Giant orange and purple air balloon.
Like, it's not bad. It's just not good enough for me to give $3 to it every month. But in 6 months, I will,
like,
put $14.
Batman, why are you pretending to be Bruce Wayne? That's awesome!
It's got a lot to like, just not enough.
All right.
I'm trying to enforce high standards so I don't have a stack of like 600 of these sitting in my, you know, kitchen for 6 months.
You know, now I feel like you're bringing that up just because I did spend last Saturday sitting on my bed crying as I sorted things into Batman Family, Batman Legends of the Dark Knight, Batman Turning Points, Birds of Prey, Batgirl, other Batgirl, Batgirl one-shot. It took me forever to get through the Bs.
I will say that a lot of the reason why I'm trying to buy fewer floppies and more trades is because I've only ever sorted my comics like twice, and I was done. Like, I was like, this is too much work, it's making me hate comic books, I will just never do this again. And then as a result of never doing it again, they just get stacked up, and then I don't even want to go through them to find something to reread. Plus, trades are better.
Alright. Thunderbolts.
Yes.
Thunderbolts.
It remains basically Marvel's best comic.
Luke Cage,
it's Jeff Parker and Kev Walker.
Power Man. Moonstone, Energy Manipulator. Hey, she was in the Dark Avengers, right?
She
was like their psychiatrist, but she sucked at it.
Basically. Bendis writes a really bad Moonstone, where she's basically like, oh, look how sexy I am. Also, I'm manipulating you because I'm sexy. And that's, like, not her thing at all. Her thing is being, like, a really good psychologist and or psychiatrist, whichever one talks to people.
Both, I think.
Okay.
But only one can prescribe things, I believe.
Oh, she's whichever one can prescribe drugs, almost definitely. But she was so good at it that she got bored and started kind of screwing with people.
Let us know, psychologists and psychiatrists, are we right?
Also, can you give us drugs? But this issue is...
Oh, that is good art.
Yeah, no, that guy is great. Like, he draws great fight scenes, great ugly stuff.
Gentleman.
Kev Walker.
Just Kev.
Frank Martin colors it. The colors look really nice, too.
Yes.
And pretty much Luke Cage and Doctor Strange... After the last issue, Luke Cage got in trouble because Man-Thing got up and basically walked out. So the government was like, hey, listen, get a magic user so that if this guy freaks out, you've got some kind of defense.
And it was the devil's daughter, right?
Yep. So this is all about them trying to get to her and
her. Is that her?
No, that's Gunna, who lived with trolls in Asgard for a while and basically turned into a feral child, but like Asgardian.
All right.
She hasn't done much, but she's been pretty awesome so far. No, Satana is the one towards the end of the book with all of the naked girls.
Okay, I see someone with pink hair. Still going.
No, that's Songbird, who is the basically the second in command. Think okay. Green Lantern, but with sound.
Appear to be.
Her name used to be Screaming Mimi.
In China. Oh, that's a good change.
Yeah, like Songbird is by far. But she's one of the ones who's been through the program before and actually reformed because of it, and now is genuinely trying to do the right thing. As opposed to Moonstone, who just keeps relapsing and hanging out and, like, pretending to reform and then being like, oh, by the way, I'm escaping. Like, sorry, I don't care. Moonstone's a lot of fun. But, yeah, so Satana throws up all these weird blocks and, like, Doctor Strange gets a chance to show off. Luke Cage makes a lot of jokes. Man-Thing kind of stands there.
Doctor Strange?
Yeah, his mustache is a little out of control.
And, yeah, and doesn't he usually have the beard thing?
That's a good... No, it goes down. Like a Fu Manchu that cuts off at the chin.
No, but I thought... Okay, I've pretty much only seen him in Doctor Strange, the Sorcerer Supreme, Marvel home DVD thing.
Oh, that was awful. Oh, yeah, he sometimes has a goatee.
See? Ah.
But usually he has a mustache like this. Well, that looks more like a shadow than a mustache, but pretend like that is a mustache. But yeah, so they get there, she's like, you know, ha ha ha, I've got you now, and they trick her, and they put basically a necklace around her neck that prevents her from something, something, something. And then when she sees the Man-Thing, she says apparently it's true name, and is like, geez, if I knew you had that guy on the team, I would have joined just because. And yeah, it's just another good issue, like... I couldn't write a month-to-month review of it because it's just like, hey, yep, just as good as the last one. Here's a funny joke from it.
You have come for... Okay, she's surrounded by naked red women with creepy long fingernails.
Yeah.
Just because, apparently.
Daughter of Satan. Her name's Satana. Why not?
Why, actually? Why?
Maybe they're succubuses. Succubi.
But then why would they be with her? I mean, I would think succubi had things to do.
Maybe this is their summer home.
Okay. Well, there are some fruit in the background. I mean, I like fruit.
It's just a barbecue.
Okay, so they all immediately go over to the guys and are like, stay forever. And okay, just like, I'm married, I think.
Yes.
Is he married?
Yes.
We won't tell your wife about that, Luke.
It would be a little
Who's
awkward.
He married to? Another superpowered person?
Yeah, she can kind of... She can fly, but she's bad at it, and she's super strong. Well, not super strong like Superman, but, like, she could beat up Batman. But, yeah, I don't know, like... It's just consistently my favorite book to come out of Marvel. Like, well-plotted, the characterization is great. Even when it does, like, really dark stuff, it's never so dark that you just want to, like, crawl into a corner and die. And it's funny. Apparently comedy is what I want out of superhero comics.
Me too.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Oh, and another big development is that Songbird is going to get her own team of Thunderbolts. Which I assume means that, like, all types of new characters are going to join the team. It'd be, like, the B-team or something like that. This is actually a book I like so much that I don't read the solicits for it.
Oh, but that's actually not Luke Cage.
Nope.
It's Doctor Strange, and... Okay, they switched faces, so... All right, I guess your wife is not going to get you in trouble. Excellent.
It was a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was well done in the book, too, I thought. It wasn't just like, ha-ha, we fooled you.
Great.
Yeah. No, I like... And it's funny, there's... Jeff Parker keeps bringing in characters from, like, one of my favorite eras of Marvel, which is, like, that 70s point when anything went, because, like, they got one small crack in the armor of the comics code. Like, mm-hmm. Suddenly they can do monsters and drug stories. So it's just wide open. Anything goes. Like, Daughter of Satan, Son of Satan... Ghost Rider who made a deal with Satan, Man-Thing who just sets people on fire because they're afraid, because why not? It was a really good era of comics. Like, art was off the meter. Writing was pretty good too. What's next?
Uncanny X-Force.
This is a 5.1 issue, which honestly is one of the dumber things Marvel's planned lately. So pretty much, if you find a Marvel comic and it's, like, something .1, it's a jumping on point.
Mm-hmm.
But half of the jumping on points arrive in the middle of story arcs.
Yeah.
Or, like, right towards the tail end.
Dokken, too. Like, they had a something .1 issue.
I think so. Either that or it's coming soon. And, like, that's not
Ooh,
to say that all the stories
are bad. She's stabbing through the mouse! Like, his mouth is open...
Like through the
and
cheek?
Through one cheek, and then it goes through the cheek on the other side. Oh!
Yeah, this is super violent. That's basically Uncanny X-Force's claim to fame. But it's drawn by Rafael Albuquerque, who you might know from Blue Beetle.
I do know him from Blue Beetle, and it is good art.
Yeah, it is great. He draws claws very well, which is good for this series because...
Is this Lady Deathstrike?
Yeah.
I know that from the movie.
She's much better in the comics.
Oh, she'd have to be. Although that was a good fight in the movie.
Yeah, definitely. This one is sort of like cleanup from a story from the 80s. There's a period when the X-Men were in Australia.
It looks very 80s. She is wearing some shoulder pads.
Yeah. Like, there's robot dudes who hate mutants. So, like, they hated mutants so much that either... when they died, they turned themselves into robots, or, like, they were just like, forget it, turn me into a robot so I can kill some mutants. And they're called the Reavers. They're really entertaining, but, like, I cannot possibly justify their existence, you know? And in this one, they've got this crazy plan to blow up the X-Men's island and kill all the mutants ever. And the Uncanny X-Force is like, well, we're not going to let that happen, so we're going to go and kill all of them. And that's pretty much what happens, is like an 18-page fight scene.
Just kill the Reavers? Reapers?
Reavers.
Reavers. Yeah. Like Firefly.
Yeah, but robots. And they have names like Bone Crusher.
Sorry. That got me by surprise there. Alright. I'm sorry, I'll get it together.
It's their classic X-Men reference, but man. What are their like?
Alright. Okay, just don't say anything. Alright, I'm back.
But yeah, it's there's some good character stuff mixed in the middle there.
Mm-hmm.
Because, so at the end of their first storyline, like the book was just recently launched, they're on issue 5, obviously.
Wait, I thought Lady Deathstrike is a mutant.
No. Good question, actually.
Because she seems to be fighting the force that's fighting the Reavers.
No, she's on the Reavers side. But I don't think she's actually a mutant.
Ah.
Like, her dad was the one who came up with Wolverine's claws process.
Uh-huh.
And she hates Wolverine because she thinks that Wolverine is making something too public. Like, I don't even know anymore.
All right.
But it's for her father's honor that she tries to kill Wolverine. But at the end of the first X-Force story, they killed the X-Men villain Apocalypse, who at that point had been reborn as, like, a little kid.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, one member of the team killed him. Total surprise. Like, the end of the issue, there's no talking. Like, it's just a quiet fade out. The next issue, they fight about it because, like, they're like, holy crap, you know, we just killed a freaking kid. He was a bad guy, but we could have made him into a good guy.
He was, like, did he have an adult's mind or something?
He was being taught how to be Apocalypse on a spaceship on the moon.
But he had, like, none of the memories or...
Nope. So it's basically like, would you kill Hitler as a kid?
And they were like, yes.
Well, no, half the team was like, we're not doing this. We're going to take him back home. We're going to teach him up to become the right way. The other half was like, this guy ruined my life. I've got to kill him. Oh, wait, I can't. Like, I'm not that much of a monster. And then one guy just shoots him in the head.
Which guy? Which guy?
Phantom X.
I don't know who that is.
You know Phantomas?
That sounds like something that would be in the zombie comic. Phantomas.
No. But he's like the original supervillain from pulp novels.
Uh-huh.
And pretty much he'd wear like a top hat and spats. I don't know. It was like the 1910s or 1920s or whatever. But it's sort of a rip on that, and he's like fake French, so he puts on a French accent. He's much better than I'm making him sound right now.
I didn't know Thomas was a...
Phantomas, like phantom in French.
Okay.
I'm assuming that's how you pronounce it.
Pretty sure that the os is not French.
Created by French writers Marcel, Elaine, and Pierre. I'm not going to say it.
I have underestimated the French culture.
The French alphabet.
My apologies to you.
Jeez, there's like 40 books about this guy. But yeah, he was like a gentleman thief, but not as nice as like Arsène Lupin or something like that. But so he's a superhero who's sort of modeled in that same kind of thing where he'll steal stuff because he likes living the high life. And like, he shoots the kid and doesn't say anything. He just quietly closes the kid's eyes and walks out. The next issue, they fight about it because, you know, like, hey, you shot a kid. And, you know, that's... We got together to kill adults, not children.
Yeah.
That sort of conversation. And
it's... It seems like if he can be reborn,
yeah,
you'd do better giving him a good, I want to be a good person life than just shooting him, because...
Yeah, it's one of those things that'll clearly play out over the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because now they're already fighting. Like, Psylocke hates the fact that it happens. Like, she can't really cope with it, because she was the one who was willing to fight her team to keep this kid alive. Because basically they all bust in the door. You know, it's a big superhero moment. It's like, hey, we're here to get you. And it's her sitting there with a sword like, no, we're not getting anything. And I'm going to stop you with my life if I have to. which made her boyfriend very mad because her boyfriend had his life completely ruined by Apocalypse. But anyway, this issue, pretty much fighting and talking in a pretty good proportion. And, like, it's still... I like that the... he's not just letting the fact they killed a kid, like, go. Like, if it was Deathstroke, it'd be, well, yep, had to do it. Suck it up, guys.
Actually, Deathstroke did kill... wait.
He's almost definitely killed, like, 16 Titans.
Yeah, that's true. But, okay, how old was the kid?
I don't know, like, past kindergarten. Like, he wasn't, like, a little kid where, you know, he's cute. He was, like, a not a teenager, but not a child.
Okay.
Yeah. Preteen, I guess, is the word for that. But it's presented as something, like, totally questionable and probably, like, a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really curious to see where he's going to go with that, because usually, like, when you get consequences for murder in a superhero book, it's like Batman goes to jail for the next 6 months, you know, as opposed to these groups who got together to do bad in the name of good. Mm-hmm. Like, these things have to be done. Someone has to do it, and we don't want anyone else to have to bloody their own hands. Which, you know, I get it. It's kind of interesting. It's been done a billion times. But actually seeing consequences in a book like this has basically never happened. Like, Cry for Justice was one where it's like, we're going to be the proactive superhero team and stop trouble before it starts. And you see how that ended. Tears for everyone who had to read the book. But no, Uncanny X-Force is good. And great art, too.
Okay.
What's left? Hulk?
Hulk. He's a big red Hulk.
This is another
point one. Is this still his son? Scar?
No, there are so many fake Hulks now that I boiled my Hulk reading down to just Jeff Parker's Hulk. This is Red Hulk, who is General Thunderbolt Ross, who was the guy. It was the 60s. Like, they still... what was... Eisenhower had, like, a funny nickname. It was normal back then.
Ike!
No, he... that, it wasn't just Ike. At least I hope it wasn't just Ike.
Thunderbolt.
Maybe it was just Ike. Either way. Oh no, what was Patton's nickname?
Stonewall? No, that's Jackson.
But,
the slapper? I don't know.
That doesn't even rhyme. Anyway, Patton had a nickname.
It has phonetic semen.
Old Blood and Guts was Patton's nickname. Which, if you think about it, is really messed up. But, so Thunderbolt Ross was the guy who hunted the Hulk basically since his... actually, yeah, definitely since his inception in the first issue.
Mm-hmm.
Complicating things was Betty Ross.
Oh, that's Betty's...
yes.
Father. Oh, yeah.
So you see how there's, like, a slight conflict of interest there.
Poor friggin' Betty.
Yeah, no joke.
Mm-hmm.
She got done about as bad as one of Batman's girlfriends. But, so now he's the Hulk, which he hates. And as part of his plan after becoming a Hulk, he faked his death. So now he can't just turn back into Thunderbolt Ross and be like, you know, hey, I wasn't dead after all, guys. Welcome me back into the army, please. So he's stuck as Red Hulk and stuck working with Bruce Banner. And he's basically atoning for, like, the first 2 years of his comic book, which he spent beating up everyone else in the Marvel Universe, which was beautifully drawn and is, like, great comics. And now his former second-in-command is like, well, Thunderbolt Ross was killed by the Red Hulk, so I'm going to kill the Red Hulk.
Can't he just turn into Thunderbolt Ross and be like, no, Luke, I am the Red Hulk?
He can't turn into Ross because General Fordian, which is a little on the nose as far as name goes, came with a bunch of firepower to kill the Red Hulk. So if he turned into Ross, like, he'd just instantly die. So instead, he separates the general from his unit, and it's like, you know, you gotta stop what you're doing. This hunt will ruin you. Like, it'll make you a shell of a man. And I know this because I am Thunderbolt Ross. And the guy's like, I don't know what you're talking about, because my audio cut out, like, 10 minutes ago. but I put nanomachines in your brain, so if you turn back into a human being, not only will we find you, we'll blow up your head.
Huh.
The Red Hulk's kind of like, oh, he's so well trained. And it's just another good Hulk book. It's just Red Hulk smashes stuff, people smash him for, you know, him beating them up a year and a half ago. And I read the preview of the new issue. There's like 8 pages on CBR or something, and he can't return to his base because it's supposed to be a secret.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to walk around the country now, kind of like the Hulk did in the 70s show. But he's being chased by an army guy with several $1 billion worth of bombs. It's pretty good. Very entertaining. And that's all I got this week.
All right.
How long was that, man?
40 minutes.
45 minutes. Well, thanks for making it through all that. 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking. Yes, 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking. 4 o'clock and I'm still rocking. No stopping, no stopping, no stopping, no stopping.